Hello, 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 and welcome to Degree of Difficulty. My name is Aaron Johnson. I appreciate you rocking me wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all of that good stuff. Make sure to subscribe, share, and rate 5 stars. It goes a really long way, really helps me out here, really lets me continue doing what I got to do. And I got to make an announcement. I definitely had promised that I was going to come back after we had our sit-down talk with Chris Ellsbury about the 1989 Trumbull Little League team, but life got in the way a little bit. Had a birthday yesterday, 27 years young, so had a party on Saturday, great party. A lot of people came out. Thank you. Big shout out to my girlfriend for putting all of that together, because I can tell you right now, that is my better half in every way, shape, or form, because I definitely know I wasn't putting nothing together. I was going to get a grill. I was going to get a couple things to drink and some burgers, and I was going to call it a day. But she put together a whole festivity thing, and it was really nice. Had a bunch of people come up. So helping her kind of put some of that together, and by helping her, I mean being the muscle, lifting boxes and putting them back down. I had to get home after work a few times. So before I dive back into this, definitely want to say thank you, everybody that came out listening to the podcast. Had a great time. And if you weren't there, well, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to wait until I get to 28. Well, actually, probably my next big party is going to be when I'm 30, but we got some time for that. But I want to dive right into some things, because this was a wild weekend in sports. Like, this was a ridiculous weekend in sports. And one of the things that came out during my party, I kid you not, was the Andrew Luck retirement. And now, if you've been under a rock as a sports fan for the last, let's say, 48 hours, then you didn't know that Indianapolis Colts, former first overall quarterback, led them to one AFC championship game. Andrew Luck announced his retirement at age 29. Now, the crazy thing about this, now, while I am at my party and I'm enjoying myself and I'm sitting back and I'm laughing and, you know, we got the games going, somebody comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Aaron, you heard about Andrew Luck?" And I was like, "Nah, man, what you mean? What happened to Andrew Luck? He got hurt again?" Or, "Oh, how's Andrew Luck? Like, where's this coming from?" And then somebody said, "Yeah, Andrew Luck retired." I remember looking at them and being like, "Nah, seriously, what are you talking about?" And they said, "No, he announced it today that he's retiring." And my first thought was, he's got to be more injured than he let on. And then my second thought was a point that I brought up when I was talking about Antonio Brown a couple weeks ago, where it's like maybe he fell out of love with the game. Coming to find out that it was kind of like a little bit of everything mentally for Andrew Luck, between the injuries, between the rehab, and between just a bunch of other miscellaneous things that came together to kind of create this, unless you're a Colts fan, perfect storm. If you're a Colts fan, it's anything but perfect. But yeah, and he just leaves at 29 years old, and it made me think of several things, and I'll get into some of the backlash of that for a while, but it made me think of several things, one of which was the last time we saw something like this. And I was talking to one of my brothers the other day, and we were kind of thinking about, I remember when Calvin Johnson retired, Megatron retired, I want to say he was 30, I think he was like 30, 31 when he retired. Now, Calvin Johnson, he still had some good years left in him. We've had probably, I'd say at that point, another like 4 or 5 good years of being the best receiver in football. But when you look at Andrew Luck and look at the way that everything kind of boiled down for him, you know, he got drafted in 2012. He had 3 straight years of being that franchise quarterback like everyone thought he was going to be. Got that trip to the AFC Championship game where the whole Deflategate thing happened. That's another story for another day for anybody that's not a Patriot fan. But, I mean, he threw 40 touchdowns in 2014 to 16 interceptions. And that was statistically his best year before this past year he just had. Now, obviously, with the injuries and everything that kind of went down, he missed the whole 2017 season, so that kind of led into everything. But even comes back last year, plays all 16 games, is able to do that, has a 67.3 completion percentage, so he's playing well. It's his one of his best, and looking at this, in my opinion, it might be his best in totality, his best statistical season. I mean, he had 4,593 yards passing, 39 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. They get to the playoffs. They get a win in the playoffs. I mean, when you looked at it, he 4-time Pro Bowler for his career. 2018, he won the Comeback Player of the Year last year after that stellar season. And he's going to be 30 in a couple weeks here in September. So he's 29, but he's going to be 30 in about 2 weeks. So you see the fact that his skills hadn't diminished. He still had a lot left in the tank. But then mentally, and this kind of goes back to how much of a grind professional sports is, especially professional football, especially a quarterback playing professional football. Like, yes, you get paid the big bucks. You're at the pinnacle of your career. You're at the pinnacle of your sport. You get all the accolades, the jerseys, the all of that, the fanfare, Andrew Luck. But it's got to be a weight that's, unless you're there, you don't really understand it. And that's something that I've read and something that I've heard a lot of former players say. You know, if you're not there, you don't get it. And I wholeheartedly believe that. I mean, I never played in the NFL. I never stepped in on a field in the NFL. I never stepped on the court in the NBA. I never got on a diamond in Major League Baseball. Never was, you know, knocking the ball back and forth at Wimbledon. Never had to go out and tee off on the 18th hole during the Masters. I don't know what's going through these people's minds when they're doing this kind of thing. And Andrew Luck is just the latest to have to kind of show us in that reality check that this is something that is crazy for these people to do. Yes, they're high-profile athletes. Yes, they are physically gifted specimens, really. But they're still human at the end of the day. There's still something that's going on between the ears that can become a daunting and relentless grind that can become unrelenting throughout. And, I mean, he was in the league for, 2012 to 2018. So that's 6 years minus 2017. So 5 years of playing. And he was one of the best at his position while playing and while healthy. I mean, it's something that we will never understand. And I know a lot of people, the immediate backlash was admittedly something I wasn't expecting. I mean, I wasn't there when Barry Sanders quit. I wasn't. Barry Sanders was 29 years old when he quit. I believe I might have been like 2 or 3 years old when he quit. I don't actually got to double check that to see what year Barry Sanders retired. But Barry Sanders was 29 when he left. And I know a lot of people say like, oh, Barry Sanders could have still played. I don't know why he left. I remember vividly a commercial when I was a kid of like a Detroit Lions fan driving a car laughing, saying Barry Sanders isn't that old. He could still come back. So maybe he must have retired by the time I was at least 5 or 6. But he retired at 29. And I correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but I don't believe there was a lot of crazy backlash. I think it was more shock. But Andrew Luck is out here getting booed. He's out here getting ripped on social media. And I think the initial thought behind all of this was that he gave up or he's scared. And I know Doug Gottlieb during his radio show this morning, he got ripped himself by Troy Aikman because he was calling out Andrew Luck saying something along, I'm paraphrasing here, something along the lines of, oh, well, Andrew Luck just doesn't want to play because he doesn't want to have to go through, he doesn't want to go through rehab anymore, or something like that. And Troy Aikman, who I am not a Troy Aikman fan. I am really not. I'm not a big Troy Aikman fan. I actually think it's really stupid that he gets to do the Cowboy games as the game of the week. I just think that's a conflict of interest. That's just me. But yeah, Gottlieb came out. Now I got the tweet here. Retiring because rehabbing is quote unquote too hard is the most millennial thing ever. Hashtag Andrew Luck. And Troy Aikman came back with some pretty choice words. Troy Aikman said, that's total BS, Doug. What qualifies you to decide how someone should live their life? So now you're the authority, which motivates Andrew Luck. And if his decisions don't fit what you think is best for him, then you rip him. Guess this is so great. Guess that keeps you employed at FS1. Nice. And Troy Aikman, that's just funny. I can't lie to you. That's just funny. And kudos to Troy Aikman for that, because that's a good, you know, twist of the knife. But Troy Aikman's one of those guys that's been there. I was talking about that fraternity before. Troy Aikman's one of those guys that's been in that fraternity. Troy Aikman won 3 Super Bowls. Troy Aikman had to leave the game he loved, the game he played his whole life, not on his own terms, but because I'm pretty sure if he got hit one more time, his brain would have physically come out of his ear. Troy Aikman had so many concussions that he had to get out of the game of football. Now, yes, he's been great in the booth and all of that, and by great in the booth, I mean he actually – I can listen to Troy Aikman. I don't like Troy Aikman. I don't like the fact that he does the Cowboy games. That's really my beef with it. That's another story for another podcast. But as far as his playing career, he gets it. He was there. I don't think Doug Gottlieb is going to be able to get it in that way. Yeah, I know Gutlieb played in college, I want to say, but I don't think he's going to get it from a professional NFL point of view. He played college basketball. Trey Aikman won 3 Super Bowls. He played on the highest stage in the biggest game multiple times. And a lot of these other players, all these other pro players came to his aid. And I know the big thing is about, oh, Andrew Luck got booed. Andrew Luck got booed coming off the field. And I do think that that's not going to age well. It's not going to age well. I think a lot of the fans that may have been booing have already kind of regretted that, not just because of the backlash. Granted, although backlash does make people start to, you know, change their mind very quickly, even if they still have that intent in their heart, the backlash just to save faces was going to stop a lot of these people from saying, like, oh, you know, I didn't mean it or whatever you want to say. But, yes, you booed. You booed Andrew Luck as he walked off the field, the same guy that took you to an AFC championship, the same guy that you guys were cheering for while you guys, you know, escorted Peyton Manning out, the guy that you wanted to come in and be the next face of your franchise. All these things Andrew Luck did. And, yes, don't get me wrong, I do think it was a shock to many people the way he kind of just dropped out of the sport. I've heard some rumors, people thinking that he's going to come back. I don't think he's going to come back. I think he's done. You don't do a move like that and say, oh, you know, I'm just playing. I'll be back in 2 years or I'll be back in a year, unless you're Brett Favre. But that's a different story, again, for a different podcast. And I don't think Andrew Luck is doing any of this. I think he's doing it simply because he understands that his mental health is more important than, you know, millions of dollars. And Andrew Luck wasn't, like, coming from some of these other places that some of these big-name players that have to make that choice come from. Andrew Luck comes from a very financially stable background. Not saying that that's a knock against him. That's not his fault that his family actually, you know, was good with money growing up. That's not a problem at all. But what I'm saying is the decision to choose your health, your mental health, over something that you don't think you want to put yourself through, you can never look at somebody and say that's the wrong choice, because that's not a choice that you get to determine. Whether you're Doug Gottlieb, Joe Blow down the street, or anyone other than the guy Andrew Luck. Hopping into things, like I said, it's been so wild between these last couple of days, because, like I said, the party was great, and there was just a lot going on. So I'm gonna try and bounce around, not as much, and hopefully we can get some guests. I got a guest in mind coming in for later this week. If anything, be out a lookout on my Instagram and my Twitter for that. But one thing I wanted to jump into that I actually kind of grinded my gears, to use an old adage, was looking at baseball this weekend. And it was Players Weekend this past weekend, Players Weekend in baseball. And it's something that at first glance, when I first heard about Players Weekend, I didn't like it. I didn't. I thought it was kind of a bad attempt on Major League Baseball's part to, you know, make them hip in the cool sport or whatever you want to call it. But it kind of grew on me. The last couple years they've done it, it's grown on me. And I like how they do Players Weekend now. And there was a lot of, again, backlash coming from, you know, people hating on the jerseys, because especially the Yankees and the Dodgers. Yankees had the best record in the American League. The Dodgers had the best record in the National League. I mean, it's the Yankees, Dodgers. They were out in L.A. playing all weekend. Yankees took 2 out of 3. But it's interesting to kind of look at how this all backlash thing is coming from the Players Weekend. And they were talking about, oh, the black jerseys that the Yankees wore, all black, it looks stupid, and the Dodgers wore all white, and the last names on the back, and all the nicknames, and all this stuff, yada, 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 yada. And the first thing I thought about when I started hearing all the crap that was out there, you know, blasting Players Weekend, was this is why it's so hard, it's so tough for baseball to get any kind of audience under the age of, like, 35, 40. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know there are baseball fans that are under the age of 35, 40, but everyone knows that those numbers are dwindling. Those numbers aren't what they used to be, especially coming from, you know, the minority point of view. That's just the way that the cookie has been crumbling for Major League Baseball, kind of the similar way of, you know, newspapers and all the things that used to be huge social aspects of American society. Now, the big issue that I have with the backlash of Players Weekend is it's the old adage that anything that's not traditional in baseball gets completely shot down. And that's why baseball is having such a hard time keeping up. Baseball hasn't been the pastime in this country in a very long time. Football took over at least 10, 15 years ago. And I'm being generous with that. 10, 15 years ago, football took over baseball. Really, baseball kind of lost their way after the 94 strike. But that's something that I guess would be the smart way to look at it. I'm trying to be generous. I'm a nice guy. I like to be nice. I just turned 27. I can't be old and in a curmudgeon already. But the fact about it is, this is why it's so difficult for baseball to keep up. They're trying to do new things. They're trying to, you know, put some type of spin in there. They're let the kids play was like their marketing campaign at the beginning of the year. You know, do the backflips. And, you know, hooping and hollering when you strike somebody out and rounding the bases for a big. And as somebody who remembers what it was like when Sammy Sosa, although we all know Sosa was roided out of his mind at this point, but Sosa would hit a home run and do the hop. And then Bonds would hit a home run, roided out of his mind, and watch it. Video game Barry Bonds. Watch it sailing to McCovey Cove as he's watching it going into the San Francisco night sky. That kind of stuff was cool to me even as a kid. Now you got an opportunity here where Major League Baseball is trying to make it fun for not just the players, but also for the people to try and bring them into baseball. And you get the purists out there who hate it. Oh, the jerseys look terrible. Oh, why do they have to have their nicknames? Oh, why are they trying to speed the game up? Oh, why does it have to change from the way that I remember it? They're not going to give them mandatory steroid injections and metal bats. They're not trying to do that. They're just trying to make it more inviting for other people, for younger generation. Because if you look at the NFL really doesn't have to do much. The NFL has the perfect schedule the way it's set up. The NFL has the player personalities, the big name. Who is the best player in the NFL? When you think about it, Patrick Mahomes, for the most part, and, you know, I guess some people out there will argue, but Patrick Mahomes in one season kind of, you know, ascended to that I'm the best player in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes is on the cover of Madden. Patrick Mahomes has been in commercials. Patrick Mahomes is going. The amount of stuff that's going to come out from Patrick Mahomes over the next football season starts in, what, 2 weeks? Let's count how many commercials Patrick Mahomes is in this year. How much the push for Patrick Mahomes has been in the NFL. The best player in Major League Baseball is Mike Trout. I can guarantee you I can walk around right outside the studio with a picture of Mike Trout. And I'm in an urban area. I'm in an urban city in Connecticut. And I guarantee you, I can show you a picture of Patrick Mahomes and hold up a picture of Mike Trout. Way more people are going to know who Patrick Mahomes is. And Mike Trout really is better at his job than Patrick Mahomes is. Not saying Patrick Mahomes isn't a good football player, but Mike Trout has been out and out the best player in baseball for a very long time. Mike Trout has an outside chance of, at the very least, hitting like 600 home runs, which only a handful of people have done. He's that good. Mike Trout is going to put up absolute Hall of Fame numbers. He's going to leave the game and walk into Cooperstown. And it's not even like, oh, well, the market is bigger. Patrick Mahomes is in Kansas City. He plays in Kansas City. Mike Trout plays in Los Angeles. And he still can't get any kind of airplay with stuff. He can't get pushed, marketed, anything. He plays in Los Angeles. Granted, he plays for the other team in Los Angeles, but he still plays in Los Angeles. And you're telling me that the guy, and this is, I'm saying baseball just can't keep up. You're telling me that the quarterback of a team in Kansas City is more well known than the best player in baseball who's in Los Angeles. It's because the younger generation doesn't go to baseball the way that it used to. And it's because the purists, in my opinion, it's because the purists try and take the joy out of it because it has to stay traditional. Times have changed. Bat flips are okay. Social media is fun. I remember listening to Tim Anderson, the shortstop for the Chicago White Sox. And Tim Anderson has been very outspoken about this. And he's actually gotten a fastball in the back once or twice because of this. Because he does bat flips. Because he watches the home runs. Because he likes to do a little shimmy or something. And he was on Bomani, The Right Time with Bomani Jones, the podcast, and he was talking about it. And he said the guys and the players don't care. They just they're purists. They want to play the game. They don't care about social media. They don't care about being out there. They don't care about, you know, being marketable. And as much as they might not care, And as much as they might not, quote unquote, have a responsibility to do that, it's killing their game. It, say what you want. Patrick Mahomes got a, he has a Twitter. He has an Instagram. He's out there. He's on social media. And some of these other guys aren't. And it's in, like I said, say what you will about it. Players Weekend is a way of trying to bring some of that back into the game, or even some of it, introduce some of it into the game. And when the traditionalists and the purists out there, oh, these are terrible jerseys, or why is it like that? Like, first of all, relax, it's a weekend. They do it three games. It's not like the whole season. They're trying, I feel like they're trying to meet people halfway. Like, look, we're going to do this once a year for a weekend. Now you're going to put in, we're not putting it in a pennant race. We're not putting it in a divisional race. We're not putting it in a wild card race. We're just trying to have some fun at the end of the summer. When they talked about when they made the announcement about the Field of Dreams game that's going to happen next year, I believe it's Yankees and the White Sox, and they're going to play out the field from the movie Field of Dreams. Certain people's like, oh, this is a terrible idea. So you're going to tell me you're going to take a sport that is, as far as younger audiences, hurting for a younger audience, put them into a movie setting and mash that two together. In the NBA, Michael Jordan, in the NBA, LeBron James is getting ready to make Space Jam 2. While I don't think we need Space Jam 2, the hype surrounded by the around that is ridiculous. And don't even get me started on how the NBA markets their players, because the NBA is a players' league, and they market the hell out of their players. There's some people that don't even watch a lick of basketball during the season. They know who James Harden is because of the beard and the marketability of his beard. They know who Russell Westbrook is. They obviously know who LeBron James is. They obviously know who Steph Curry is. Like, they know who the top players are. In football, you know who the top players are. Some people might not know Aaron Donald, but some people will definitely know Patrick Mahomes. You look at Major League Baseball. Who does anybody know? Derek Jeter's gone. A-Rod's gone. Barry Bonds is gone. Sammy Sosa's gone. Mark McGwire's gone. Roger Clemens is gone. Pedro Martinez gone. Big Poppy's gone. These guys aren't in the league anymore. And I can tell you, as much as I love Mookie Betts, no one's going to know who Mookie Betts is. No one's going to know who Mike Trout is. The average casual fan. No one's going to know who Cody Bellinger is. These are maybe Bryce Harper. You might get one or two people that knows Bryce Harper because of the hair and the fact that he's on Instagram and the fact that, you know, he's been in commercials. You might get somebody who knows Bryce Harper. But you're not going to get the core players. And Bryce Harper hasn't been the best player. He had one great season. He was the MVP. That was his best season. But Bryce Harper has not been the best player in Major League Baseball. And you can't even get the best player in Major League Baseball to be marketable. They're not pushing it. And it turns into a huge thing. It might be a purist, traditional, we're baseball, we don't do that. Yeah, well, when the viewership is down with younger audiences, when you can't attract kids, especially urban minority kids, to the game, but you look over and you see football's doing it, and you see that basketball's doing it, and you see all these kids are able to have a favorite player that they know by name, that they can see his highlights on and hop on YouTube and see the highlights and interact with them on social media, and then you question what's going on, what can we do? Keep doing player weekends. Keep doing stuff like that. Make the purists and traditionalists either understand that they got to get on board or get out of the way, because this is the only way that the audience is still going to be able to remain happy and young. And I get it. Not everyone's young. But when you look at the viewership, and it's so obvious that the viewership for younger, if at least for younger watchers of baseball, is diminishing. And because they're going to other sports. And they've credit Major League Baseball, credit Robert Manfred for trying to do something. Who cares what the jersey looked like? Let them play, let the kids play, and make sure that you're able to market that, because the younger audience is going to be watching. They say it all the time. Kids are always watching. This is a perfect example of kids are always watching. All right, closing out the show today, guys. And like I said, I'm still in a place where, you know, I'm coming down from the high of this weekend, because it was. I know I mentioned it before, and it has been. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you guys, everyone that came out for my birthday celebration, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But like I said, I want to wrap the show up here really quick. I had a couple things that I wanted to definitely say, first of all, definitely thank you to Chris Ellsbury from the last episode coming on, talking a little bit about the Little League World Series, which actually ended, I want to say, yesterday. I saw Louisiana beat Curacao in the final, so good for them. USA gets another championship in the Little League World Series, so that's pretty cool. I love when Curacao goes, because the one thing I remember back when Curacao went, and I didn't watch really any of the Little League World Series this year. I'll be honest with you. Again, planning the party, but well, not planning, but being the strong guy. But no, it was cool because I think about how back when Curacao won a couple of years ago, or back when I was a kid, I should say, everyone's favorite player was Andrew Jones, because Andrew Jones is from Curacao. And I think about it, and I was like, I wonder who everyone's favorite player would be now. And I would guess it'd be like Didi Gregorius and Profar from the Rangers, the second baseman. And the crazy thing about Profar was, I remember when he played in the Little League World Series. He played in the Little League World Series 2 years in a row, because those are two of the best like Little League World Series teams I remember. Curacao won his first year, and his second year they lost to Hawaii, and Hawaii like won on a walk-off home run in like the eighth inning or something. Like, it was like that I remember being like one of the best Little League World Series games I ever watched. So, and I think I might have been like 12 or 13, so it was like right around that time where I was like embedded in the Little League World Series. But definitely, guys, thank you so much for listening and for rocking with me. Gonna have a hopefully one or two guests on within the next week or so to kind of talk a little bit about the NFL season starting up, college football. Gonna have a big college football and NFL kind of like preview show to look at everything, look at how good certain people are gonna be, how good certain teams are gonna be, et cetera, et cetera. Gonna talk a little bit about fantasy football coming up, because my fantasy draft was yesterday and I'm feeling pretty solid about it. I'm feeling pretty solid about my picks. Feeling pretty good. I got Joe Mixon and James Conner, so my running back situation is very set. So picking 10th in the draft, so I had to figure out something. But I'm feeling pretty good. I am. I'm feeling pretty good. Could have had Patrick Mahomes, but one of the guys in my league doesn't want me to have fun. But otherwise, guys, I appreciate you rocking with me as always. This is Degree of Difficulty. My name is Aaron Johnson. Be on the lookout for more Degree of Difficulty coming up over the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Like I said before, always appreciate you guys rocking with me. Wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all of that good stuff. Make sure to subscribe, share, and rate 5 stars. It goes a really long way. It allows me to keep doing what I love doing. I can definitely see that I was well missed. I had a couple people hit me up over the weekend and say, "Well, where's your next episode? I was waiting for it." So here you go. Without further ado, this is Degree of Difficulty. I'll be back in the next couple days to do a next one. Hopefully, we got a guest or two to come on and talk a little NFL. And other than that, keep being safe, keep having fun, keep listening, keep sharing, keep subscribing, and I really appreciate you guys.